It's Fox 1270 in the morning. Good morning. It's 7:07. It's Panama here. It's Mike on the other side of the glass. You know, Mike, been about a year and a half now, 18 months, since the stimulus bill was passed. Some will say it worked. Quite a few more will say it probably did not. On the phone with us this morning is Curtis Greco. He's the author of the Blind Vision books and also the founder of the Imperfect Messenger Foundation. Curtis, good morning. Thanks for joining us today.
Good morning, Panama.
How's everything with you today? Good? You're looking for everything feeling good today?
Hey, we're doing ducky. We're doing fine.
That is beautiful. That is beautiful.
My parents put me back inside the hotel room, so we're circus is safe.
Okay, so you're okay. You're not just wandering the halls, Curtis. You're going to be okay there.
The women and children are safe.
Right. Hey, listen, you know, the president, as you well know, we all know, he pushed through that $790 billion stimulus package in February, and then it's 18 months later. We're not really seeing results, some would say, and I think you agree as well. Your books address that, the Blind Vision series. Talk about the progress you think has been made with the stimulus package, or lack thereof.
Well, the stimulus package really isn't as endemic, or as I should say, is a great illustration of what is so very wrong with the approach to government at Washington. Whenever government gets so large that its single greatest solution to a problem that it creates is to throw more money at it. You know, presently, you know, the bill is at $1.3 trillion in expenditures for the stimulus package, in addition to another $6.7 trillion that's been thrown at various other packages, whether it's the TARP bailout or whether it's AIG or General Motors, et cetera, et cetera. And yet they cannot point to one single job that was created outside of the domain of government. In other words, where the economy lives and breathes, where the average American, and I don't mean average meaning ordinary, I mean anyone outside of the domain of government exists, lives, and breathes, there has been no evidence and no indication of actual job creation. Recently, there was a jobs report the other day that said that there was first quarter growth at 1%, and it's showing as a sign of the stimulus package maybe just now starting to kick in. But the challenge with that is, of course, that, you know, a company can drop a few hundred employees and their bottom line can improve by 1%. So it's not necessarily an indication of growth at all because of the nature of banking, finance, and economics, and accounting, of which my background is in. You can make things look quite good with a simple shift of numbers. What the point, I guess, that the series directs and looks to engage people into a discussion is, not only that government is failing miserably in its role, but that government is not even engaged in performing the role that it was intended and designed to produce in the service of the consenting governed, the people. This also takes us to the question about what's happening out there in the electorate, what's happening out there in these midterm elections. There's this great groundswell of conversation about how the Republicans, how the Republicans are going to sweep in and extract the Democrats from their death grip on the system. Well, that may or may not happen. But the bigger question is, it's fair to say that at some point these folks who are presently there were elected. They ran on some bill. They ran on some platform that people seem to be captivated by sufficiently to elect them. Which leads me to the next question, or should lead everyone to the question, is whether or not you think that the Republicans are going to move in to fix what's wrong or that they won't. How do you know that what you get when you elect who's out there now is going to produce or perform any differently than what's presently there? Which is why I go into a discussion in the series and in some of my live presentations that talks about these questions of having a game plan. Book 3 in the series is titled Valor and Prosperity. And in the Valor and Prosperity book, it talks about stimulus concepts, functional stimulus concepts, things to do that you can actually point to that you can enforce against government and impose against government, similar to a Newt Gingrich's contract with America, that the public can say to their elected officials or to their candidates, hey, you know, when you say we're going to go to Washington and create jobs, what exactly are you going to do?
I totally agree with you. Could not agree with you more. Because I think jobs is a buzzword. I say it all the time. Jobs is a buzzword. It's like, hey, let's go green. It's a buzzword. It means nothing unless you put something behind it. I absolutely agree with that.
Yeah, you know, if you can't you know, there's a saying that I crafted a few years ago. It says something like this about politicians. They can tell you whatever they want and make it mean whatever they feel, so long as they don't explain to you what it is they're talking about. You know,
now that's a good bumper sticker.
That's a little long.
Right there.
You know, and so when you excise out of the role of government, and frankly, it's really no different than on in our personal lives. When you excise out of the role of a government accountability, you have nothing with which to hold them to as a standard of performance. And when you have no standard of performance, you get none, or you get what they want to deliver. And that's one of those issues that I think is the greatest tragedy here in the country over the last 70, 80 years, is that the American public has been busied like a bunch of mice milling about doing things that have disengaged them from their sovereign role as enforcers of the will of the people, and allowed politicians and rogue arms of the government, like the Ninth District Court, the Ninth District Court of the Supreme Court, to redefine what becomes of the people's will and enforce it selectively, or the complete opposite, detach it selectively. And so I think that my personal ambition in the writing of the series is just simply an evolution of years of observing and being an observer, years in the profession of public accounting, finance and banking, real estate and development, and writing position papers for banking and tax legislation issues, and really just observing what a tragedy has taken place. But more importantly, that we don't pay attention. We don't know. You know, when you can take a group of people that swing left or right of center and say that they're centrists, is to ignore the fundamental truth of the character and the nature of America, of Americans. Americans are not left. Americans are not right. Americans are not centrists. What Americans are the physical manifestation of what it means when Thomas Jefferson took John Locke's writings and imposed them or included them in the Declaration of Independence and said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. When he did that, when he said that, for the very first time in history, he drew a line in the sand that everything that occurred before was now suddenly going to be different. And I think that one of the things that we need to start pitching from day to day, moment to moment, and why it is the work that you do on the air in promoting and delving into some of these issues is so vital to the discussion, is that we now need to start to return to one another and start holding one another accountable to precisely what those words mean, and creating the standard to hold politicians accountable, where it's a very simple distinction. Are you or aren't you willing to defend and assert these fundamental principles? Because ultimately, the Constitution of the United States does one thing and one thing supremely and effectively to a degree of perfection, and that is it defines you and every other 299 billion, correction, million people as sovereign individuals.
Curtis, by the way, we're talking with Curtis Greco. He is the author of the Blind Vision book series. Could you explain to people what the Blind Vision book series is and what it's about?
The Blind Vision book series is three books that are out. I started releasing them earlier this year. Book one is let me give you the totality. The series is dedicated as a simple effort to challenge the perceptions of the day of the public as to some basic fundamental issues that are going on in the country. It starts with book number one, We Hold These Truths. The title tells it all. Basic fundamental ideologies that lie back of the concepts that created this country. Moves into book two, Value Given, Value Received. Draws a clear distinction of why sovereign rights of an individual are so important and so integral to the success of this country from an economic standpoint. The expression of you as an individual in the pursuit of providing a supply for existing demand, native economy. Goes into book three, which is Valor and Prosperity. T- taking the concepts of books 1 and 2 and composing them into a dialogue that concludes with what I call functional stimulus packages, functional stimulus concepts that are deliberate, specific roadmap for people to get their hands around and be able to pitch to a politician and say this, well, what about this? How about reducing taxes? How about not just reducing taxes to create jobs, but to eliminate taxes on household incomes under $350,000, provided that the household maintains its own retirement plan and self-funded insurance program. It gives a list of things that we can start looking at to enforce against the government to preserve, protect, and extend our constitutional mandated responsibilities of government to protect and defend sovereign rights of individuals.
I'm sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you. Go ahead.
And that's the summation of what the series is. It's to challenge the contemporary view as of what people believe to be the role of government and their rights as sovereign individuals.
All right, Curtis, listen, we got to take a quick break. Can you hang on? We'd love to still continue to talk to you. I want to talk more about the stimulus package and such if you've got a couple more minutes.
I got a few more minutes, pal. Love to stick with you.
Beautiful. We're going to take a quick break. We've got to check a little traffic. On the other side, we're going to come back and talk with Curtis Greco, the author of the Blind Visions book series. First of all, Trey, how are those roads looking this morning?
I suspect that tomorrow we'll see a very busy drive here in northern Nevada as we head into a trade-day weekend. But today, no accidents, no unusual slowdowns, and no weather-related problems. The drive in all directions is open with no controls. We are, however, starting to pick up a couple of customers on those southbound commutes from the northern valleys. Use caution and make sure you buckle up for safety. Master the newest versions of Adobe or Microsoft Office at New Horizons Computer Learning Center. Call for class schedules at 775-851-4333. That's 851-4333.
There's a lot going on right here in Nevada. Rather than just hear about it, talk about it. 6 to 10 weekdays, Fox 1270 in the morning. Stop wasting time and money on classified advertising and job posting networks. No matter what kind of business you have, most likely Sierra Nevada Job Corps can help.
My name's Carrie. I was spending money on classifieds month after month recruiting employees for my restaurant when all I had to do was call Sierra Nevada Job Corps. They had qualified graduates from their culinary arts program to send me immediately. Thanks, Sierra Nevada Job Corps.
My name is Carl. When my dental practice took off, I needed a medical receptionist and an insurance claims coordinator. I called Sierra Nevada Job Corps, and they put me in touch with two highly trained people right away. Thank you, Sierra Nevada Job Corps.
Sierra Nevada Job Corps trains students in 16 different technical trades. Call Sierra Nevada Job Corps when you need a highly trained, quality individual to fill your next opening. Call 789-0839. That's 789-0839. Sierra Nevada Job Corps.
Now through September 9th, shop Gap Outlet and save up to 60% off everything in the store. Plus, this weekend only, get Gap logo hoodies for just $15. And shop Banana Republic Factory Store to save 40% off all denim. Plus, get sweaters for him and her for just $20 this weekend only. Hurry, sale in September 9th. To find a store near you, go to gap.com/outlet or bananarepublic.com/factory store.
Matley Properties has some of Reno's most successful businesses as tenants and has only one remaining space available. It would be the perfect place for offices for an accountant, attorney, or other professional offices, including retail space that could benefit from having signage exposure to more than 200,000 commuters on Highway 395 each day. If you're considering a move and this would benefit your business, call Matley Properties today. Matley Properties will work with you to make your move as cost-efficient and easy as possible. Having the right location for your business is paramount in today's business world, and Matley Properties has helped some of our area's most successful businesses like Pacific Medical, MacTech Engineering, MetLife Insurance, Sandy's Electronics, Americom Broadcasting, Penguin Scuba, Reno Radio Representative, Hanger Prosthetics and Orthotics. Call Matley Properties today at 848-9064. If we can't help you, we'll be happy to refer you to someone who can. Matley Properties. Call 848-9064. That's 848-9064.
Ever wish summer would last forever? Ask Sherwin-Williams during the Endless Summer Sale and save 30% on paints and stains August 29th through September 6th. With colors like Picnic, August Moon, and Pressed Flower, you'll be surrounded by summer long after the leaves have changed. Visit your neighborhood Sherwin-Williams paint store and save 30% today. Find your nearest store at sherwinwilliams.com/sale. Retail sales only. Some exclusions apply. See store for details.
Not just news, your chance to talk about it. Fox 1270 in the morning.
All right, it's Fox 1270 in the morning. Welcome back. Panama, along with Mike, and on the phone with us this morning is Curtis Greco, the author of the Blind Vision book series, also founder of the Imperfect Messenger Foundation. Curtis, thanks for hanging on during the break.
Thank you.
Listen, the stimulus package. Where do we lay? Is it the president's plan, the Democrats' plan, the Congress's plan, the bloated Congress? Who's where do we lay this?
Well, to be frank, you know, I think we lay it on the squarely on the feet of the American public, because ultimately the folks that are in Washington are there because the public votes them in. Number two, we lay it into a process that really is not fair to say that it is any one particular action or any one particular party, because the system as it is designed, well, let me rephrase that. The system as it is not as it was designed. You have a system of government now being articulated through a process of partisanship. Democrat, Republican, these are not mandated issues. Constitutional issues. These are processes that have evolved over the last 100 years that have systematized the practice of government into a game of partisanship where the system can be controlled simply by controlling the majority of votes. It's not representative government as it's practiced. You can look back and say we are where we are today. It's the equivalent of looking at an airline accident and saying, well, you know, the accident was caused when the aircraft hit the ground. No, unfortunately, that's only the evidence of a much greater process that took place further upstream, right?
Sure.
It concluded in an aircraft hitting the ground, but that was not the accident. We can go back to 1913, to the Federal Reserve Act that started the concept of what we think of now as a central bank. But really what the Federal Reserve Act did, it was begin to prepare the U.S. economy to become global banking, which is really what we have today. We have a system of banking in this country that we think of as the Federal Reserve, as the central bank, when in fact the Federal Reserve is just one of several global banks that are controlling global economy, global finance, from the Bank of International Settlements in Switzerland. The majority of the regulations that came down that dictated what Obama did as part of the restructuring and the resurrection preservation of the so-called financial system in this country were really dictated from outside of the United States. There's some great articles that exist in the on Bank of International Settlements website. We can take my word for it. Public should go out there and do some research. Come forward, you've got the failed policies that established a precedence during Roosevelt's time frame of presidency in the 40s that began this progressive concept of Keynesian economics that said government can be the architect of economic vitality. Well, clearly, we look around the world throughout history, there has never been a successful economic enterprise driven by a government, ever. Why? It violates the fundamental concepts that create economic vibrance in the first place, which is two fundamental points. Wealth creation through productive wealth generation and its origins, which is the native economy, which is the individual, which is the sovereign individual possessing demand in search of supply. Come forward, you have the evolution of the nation state, or correction, the social state welfare system that began to see the light of day late in the post-World War II era with the creation of Social Security. Come forward into the Kennedy administration, you see the great society concept that started to develop and was carried through by Lyndon Baines Johnson. Then you see into the Nixon administration, you see the jumping off of the last vestiges of sovereign wealth protection by Nixon, who eviscerated the concept of a gold standard. The U.S. had long been off gold standard, but it maintained a gold standard regarding international settlements, which at least kept the U.S. in check regarding balance of trade. Nixon is to be credited for that. Jimmy Carter comes along, and he gives you the Community Reinvestment Act. You come forward to, you can pretty much leapfrog a little bit over Reagan, though there were some issues, and that was the era that I came into play when I was, you know, in public accounting and was involved in the liquidation of the savings and loan debacle. So I saw some of those adventures firsthand. Then you come into George Bush the Elder, who gave you the beginnings of the WTO and GATT, these global treaties that, in fact, what they did was begin to systematically dismantle the economic engine, that productive economic wealth-creating mechanism that the United States had banked its very economic success on. And he began to tell you about this thing called the New World Order, which is just a simple a euphemism for global economics. And then you come along with George or Billy Clinton. Clinton just simply extended it. He expanded the role of the Community Reinvestment Act that gave you the genesis of what became the cycle of economic depredation or predation in these hyperinflationary cycles in real estate, and then which proved that another indication of failed economic policy, because when you take away the economic capacity of a nation to self-sustain itself, what I refer to as progenerative economics, all you have left is a faux economy. And what they decided was possible to do was you could create wealth by debt generation. And think about what has happened for, I mean, Nevada is a perfect example. And, of course, my home state, California, is the poster child for it. Think of the number of people you knew who made money owning a house. Hyperinflation. What did they do? Refinance their house, pull cash out, buy a Hummer, right?
Right.
I mean, you know, we for almost 15 years, we had an entire economy in the United States whose growth rate was simply generated off of the consumer function or component of that portion of the economy, all generated by debt creation.
Mm-hmm.
Then you move forward and you see what George Bush did in the and Bill Clinton did and George Bush did when they created these banking reform acts. You can go back to the financial.
I gotta jump in. We're gonna be up against the news, and I got an interview coming up. I want to pick this up again. Can we talk some more maybe in the next week or two?
I'd love to be back. These are the types of conversations that the public needs to participate in.
And I don't think we're done talking. You got some great information. I just got a bunch of stuff scheduled, and I hate to cut you off. Tell people they can get your books and about the website. Do that for me.
Real quick, the books are available at all the sites you can imagine, online booksellers at your local bookstores. You can go on to the imperfectmessenger.com website. There's hyperlinks to Amazon. There's a lot of great media and multimedia links in there, some offsite work that I do personally. My blog is on there, Facebook, Twitter links, all that sort of stuff. I invite folks to get engaged, truly get engaged. We're not at the near midterm of this, even though the midterm elections are coming up. This is a 10-year project, and it needs to be had, a conversation needs to be had, and people need to get engaged. And I thank you for the opportunity to begin that discussion.
No problem. Curtis Greco, I'm going to get a hold of you. We're going to talk some more. We're not done yet. We'll talk some more in the next week or two.
Take care, Panama, and thanks for the time, pal.
Thank you, sir. Bye, buddy. Have a great day.